Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we are sharing our favorite songs about heroes. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, we review some new music from Beyoncé and Drive-By Truckers. It's a little bit of the track Break My Soul from Beyoncé. Needs no introduction. The seventh studio album is just out, Renaissance, also titled as Act One Renaissance. Lemonade was the last studio project from Beyoncé, solo project, but she hasn't exactly been sitting on her laurels the last few years. She made a film, Black is King. She released a collaborative record with her husband Jay-Z, Everything is Love, big tour after that one. Lent her voice to the Disney film The Lion King and a bunch of singles. 2019, a live album called Homecoming, which was basically that Coachella concert performance that she gave that is become legend in Coachella circles anyway.
Beychella, they call it, don't they?
Indeed. So Beyoncé conceived this album while she was, like the rest of us, reflecting on the COVID-19 pandemic. A bunch of new producers that she's working with, some changes in the Beyoncé sound that we may be used to at this point. Although, what is the Beyoncé sound? We're going to review her new stuff in a second, but first, let's play a track from the new album, Renaissance. It's called Cozy from Beyoncé on Sound Opinions.
She's a guy, she's a hero, she survived all she been through. My sis, cause she comfortable in my skin, cozy with who I am, comfortable in my skin, cozy, cozy, comfortable in my skin, my feet up above your sins, cozy with who I am, cozy, cozy, cozy.
That is Beyoncé with Cozy, seventh proper studio album, Renaissance. You know, Greg, I was struck also by the track Alien Superstar, which, you know, for a long time, Beyoncé was an alien. You talk about heroes, right? You talk about aliens. You talk about someone not of this world, a goddess.
Category, bad. I'm the bar. Alien Superstar. Whip, whip.
There was an icy distance originally after Destiny's Child and her solo career beginning. I think she threw that away with Lemonade, you know, direct masterpiece of an album where she is talking about the moment and herself, quite frankly. And now she wants to dance. With all the isolation and injustice over the past year, she's said, "We are all ready to escape, travel, love, and laugh again." That's the Renaissance she's talking about. And Beyoncé brings with it the best producers money can buy. It is like a small phone book. Remember those when there were phone books in print? The cast of credits here. She hasn't entirely turned her back on the cutting political commentary. At that one line that just kills me, "Them Karens just turned into terrorists." wow, okay. And she is talking about joy, though. And that's actually, she took a cue from Big Frida, who we love, that New Orleans bounce music genius. This album is about, she said, releasing the wiggle. Now, you know, in the past, I think when Beyoncé wiggled, it was crafted and choreographed and advised by a team. You know, but this feels personal and direct in a way that she hasn't always before, aside from Lemonade. I love that she's no longer an alien. She's Queen Bee still, but she's one of the girls, you know? am I wrong?
No. I think that, Lemonade remade our opinion of Beyoncé. Whatever you thought of her before that album, I think that album really shifted the conversation around her as not just a celebrity, but as an artist. So given that shadow, it's very hard for any album to live up to that standard set by Lemonade. But I think in this record, she made a hard turn and basically gave us a mini history of dance music, which is African music. Incredible range of styles and an incredible range of collaborators. I mean, she's brought in a whole team of new production voices and influences on this record that she hadn't used before.
Yeah.
So, for example, that song we just played, Cozy, won Curtis Allen Jones of Chicago, otherwise known
Cashmere.
As Cashmere.
Cashmere.
Yeah, Green Velvet.
You know, real house. You know, people who have never listened to a house record are saying, this is Beyoncé's house record, right? But it is legit. You know, her dive into, especially the gay clubs of the 80s. This is a very supportive album of that community.
You know, you think about this record, that inclusivity, Chicago and Detroit, thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
House and techno. That's the wellspring here. But also disco, dubstep, Afrobeat, Jamaican dancehall, hyperpop. She's touching on all these different influences and basically saying that this is the music that meant the most to the black, the brown, the LGBTQ community over the last 70 years, and paying homage to that and in her own way, delivering a record that's very much her own. I'm thinking about the way she's experimenting with her voice, the bravado at the tail end of a song like Heated, and also that voice, that Sly Stone rasp that's in the song Thick.
Yeah.
You know, where did that come from? She's still experimenting with sound.
Rags getting thicker. Cash getting thicker. That's that thick. That's that real thick. That's that.
But again, the powerful message here, and a necessary one. I think Lizzo and Beyoncé have both nailed a moment here in saying this is what we need right now.
You know, if those were contenders for album of the year for anyone, it's a tough choice between them, but they're both brilliant.
So if you'd like to tell your story, by all means go tell your story, but don't forget you only have one side. So parlay your inner visions with the usual suspicions and make your grand approach to the divide. And when you're changing lanes and passing on the right, check your blind spot and signal your intent. Saw that Honda full of girls airborne into the trees in the pouring rain, Interstate 10.
That is a little bit of a song called The Driver. The opening track, Greg, from the new album by the Drive-By Truckers. Welcome to Club 13, the 14th album from this long-running Southern alt-country rock group since... The two main forces, Patterson Hood, vocalist, guitarist, songwriter, and fellow vocalist, guitarist, songwriter Mike Cooley, first came together way back when in college, as college chums. I will never forget the enthusiasm you had for 2001's Southern Rock Opera. It was just infectious. You were telling everybody who had ears for a year there back in 2001 to listen to that. As I said, college pals, Mike Cooley, Patterson Hood. Patterson's dad was, of course, David Hood, famous Muscle Shoals session player, played with the Staples Singers, a hero to you. Consistently great, according to us. We've reviewed every album and had them on the show twice since that start. Live performances and interviews, show 282 and 595. What have they got to surprise us with anymore? I should also mention, for a while, it was not only two strong songwriters. Also, this guy named, you might have heard of him, Jason Isbell.
Right.
Fantastic songwriter on his own. There was too much songwriting going on, so Isbell has had one of the most successful careers of the last 15 years in the country world. What have they got to show us anymore? Can the Drive-By Truckers still surprise? I don't know. We're going to review this album. First, we're going to play the title track, Welcome to Club 13, that is 2, as in the Prince 2, and 13 as in Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Getting fancy, the truckers.
Welcome to Club 13, we'll be back same time next year to play you all our pretty songs till they drag us out of here. Maybe we'll be horse farm drunk, maybe we'll act out of scene. Muscle shows just need some pump. Welcome to Club 13.
That is Welcome to Club 13 from the Drive-By Truckers, the title track from their new album. What have they got to surprise us? Jim DeRogatis left us with that question. It's a good question. This is their 14th studio album, right? But at the heart of it, we have two great songwriters in this band, Patterson
yep.
Hood and Mike Cooley. Hood is the wordsmith, the guy with the words. He's the guy doing the introspective stuff. He's the guy with the songs that are going to tear your heart out because he's you know, digging deep into his own soul about what he feels about, you know, his life, but also the world around him. Cooley's the guy with the riffs, man. He comes up with two or three songs every record that you just go, man, that's amazing. I'm thinking of a guy like Grant Hart, who maybe was like the second fiddle in Husker Du,
right?
But always came up with these killer songs with the hooks.
Often
you know?
Those are the ones you remember.
Right, or somebody like Steve Diggle in Buzzcocks,
next to
Pete Shelley. He plays a vital role in this group, and he's come up with two bell ringers in this record. Maria's Awful Disclosures and Every Single Storied Flame Out are both really good songs.
All those well-intentioned lies that I myself romanticize believably enough to pass as love songs. With more than one man on one knee, it never stops amazing me how easily the heart hears what it wants to. Says the river, if it's owning up your after, there's no mystery how the dam inside you burst.
They're clearly rubbing off on each other, as will happen after a three-decade marriage, because Hood, in addition to the heartbreak of human relationships, romance and friendship, has also been an eloquent spokesman of the anger of Southern people with a conscience in these times of you know, oppressive Southern, you know, well, Charlottesville, right? You know, but Maria's Awful Disclosures captures that Hood sense of looming evil,
right.
You know, as well as Hood's ever done, because there's a lot of that from Hood. But also, you know, Hood is delivering the riffs here, too. This is one of the catchiest Drive-By Trucker albums ever. It's a concept record. Do you grok that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole idea of, like, the past is never really, it never really leaves you, you know? And the whole idea that we're talking about looking back, reflecting on our lives, which a lot of people did the last 2 years. There's a lot of reflection going on lately, and this album is one of those. You know, that title track that we just played, you know, the glory days did kind of suck.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the flip side of the Springsteen song, right?
It is intentionally the flip side.
Welcome to Club 13. Our glory days did kind of suck. Everyone needs a friend.
Well, you know, they're considering the past and the present through the lens of being stuck at home and not being able to tour. And there's a lot of reference throughout the record, lyrically, to, you know, why do bands tour? I mean, yeah, there's the mundane reason. It's the only way, really, to support themselves. But it's this it's this historic Kerouac idyll of being on the road, of looking for the soul of America, and finding it at a place like the Club 13, surly doorman and everything else, you know, hipsters trying to be too cool. But the idea of community, we are a community, the music world, and it's an alternative community, a word that got, you know, branded and co-opted back in the 90s. But Patterson and Mike are still true believers. I love them for that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I love the way he ends the album, Patterson does, Wilder Days. There's no comfort in survival, but it's the best option that I've found.
Can't come up with anything better.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're still
I'm
here.
Still here.
Yeah.
There's no comfort in survival, but it's still best option I found.
So that's what we thought of the Drive-By Truckers and Beyoncé. And now we want to hear from you, our listeners. Leave us a voice message with your opinions on our website, soundopinions.org. Coming up, we're going to share some of our favorite songs about heroes. And here's some of the picks from our production team. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And we are back. The past few years have been trying, to say the least. We keep repeating that. It's been echoing in all the art we've reviewed. But between healthcare workers, volunteers out there in the communities, advocates, journalists, and others, you know, we've seen some truly epic, heroic behavior, Greg. We thought it might be a good idea to share some of our favorite songs throughout pop music history about heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the theme of this show, and you are up first.
Yes, Jim. One of the things about heroes in sort of thinking about, you know, what songs I wanted to play is that heroes come in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter. You know, you think of heroes like a Superman, but not necessarily, you can be a hero and not look or act or have the superpowers of a Superman.
Or even be recognized as being a hero.
And I think Amy Mann was getting at that in the song Save Me. The story is well told that Amy was the soundtrack. She basically soundtracked the script writing process for Paul Thomas Anderson's movie Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big part of that soundtrack. This song was among them. And in fact, it was the highlight of the record. Ended up getting an Oscar nomination and, thrust Amy into a new phase of her career that she's been writing ever since. Well deserved. But the song was written from a standpoint of emotional vulnerability. The first lines of the song, "You look like a perfect fit for a girl in need of a tourniquet."
Mm.
She was falling apart. And met this person who she saw as a savior, as somebody who could sort of get her out of this doldrums phase of her life that she was in. And it was written, it was based on a true relationship that she did have.
Yeah.
In fact, the guy who the song was written about later said that, you know, Amy played the song to him over the phone. They were separated by a great distance. And she said, I've written a song and it was, you know, based on my meeting you. So it was basically her way of thanking this person for coming into her life at a critical juncture. The hero can be in all shapes and sizes. They can come out of nowhere. They may not look or even act like a prototypical hero, but they play that role in your life at a certain point. Save Me from Amy Mann on Sound Opinions.
But can you
That is Save Me, my first hero song from Amy Mann. Jim, what's your leadoff track?
Well, you had a darn good one there, Greg, but I think I can match you. John Lennon, a hero to many, although often reluctant. You know, don't talk to me about Beatles, he would say.
Yeah.
Working class hero from 1970, his first solo album, John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. First album after the breakup of the Beatles. The world weariness, you know, the draining, soul-crushing experience of also the most amazing career in pop music history. You can hear it in every note he sings and every chord he strums. It's just the voice and acoustic guitar. And, you know, as a lower middle class kid growing up in a troubled family in Liverpool, you know, he had this perspective, it strikes me. I'm thinking of 1977, the Pistols' debut, with their one and only album. As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big, you feel nothing at all. But a working class hero is something to be.
Mm-hmm.
Taking pride in who we are, in simple things, in you know, putting that roof on solidly, in laying those bricks so they don't shake, in taking care of your family and being a decent human being. You know, Lennon, once the instant fame had changed everything, you know, and really warped him in many ways, never lost sight of the average guy. I always thought, you know, he could still walk into a pub in Liverpool, maybe with sunglasses on or, you know, fake mustache, and still be one of those lads.
Right.
So I've always loved this song, Working Class Hero by John Lennon.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
Working Class Hero, John Lennon. Man, what a song.
Yeah, you know, it always struck me. I mean, it's a song that, you know, when you think working class hero, it's going to be this big anthem, but there's sort of a world weariness to it that always struck me as, you know, what does he really mean here? You know, I'm still wrestling with the true
meaning
behind
that song. With what he's
talking
about. Well, you know, I think the difficulty of maintaining what's important in life when you become a superstar, you hear it in Keith Richards' Salt of the Earth, too. Let's drink to the hardworking people.
Yeah, but that was more of an anthem. This one's like a working class hero is something to be. It's almost solemn.
He's sad.
It's almost like he's resolved to it, you know, this fate. The next song I want to play is an anthem, and again, the definition of a hero extending to a community. The Impressions Were a Winner, the 1967 single by the great Chicago vocal group led by one Curtis Mayfield. Mm. Background vocals by Sam Gooden and Fred Cash. Let's not forget Sam and Fred, because they were vital to the sound of that group. Curtis soundtracked the civil rights movement. I mean, his songs were the songs that they would play and listen to when they were getting ready to march, you know, when they were ready to face the water cannons and the dogs and the batons from the cops who didn't want them to march for their rights as human beings. And he's extending the idea that we're all heroes. We have to be heroic right now. We're going to take this on. We're going to come out on the other side, and we're going to be the winners. Mm. And sometimes you needed to hear that when you're facing those kind of odds.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made this message so powerful. You know, the optimism in the face of all these obstacles and negativity. I think it's a great song about the heroic state of mind that you had to be in when you were, you know, on the front lines of the civil rights movement in the 60s. It's a We're a Winner from The Impressions on Sound Opinions. We're a winner, Jim. So Curtis Mayfield and The Impressions told us.
Curtis is a giant and a hero. No two ways about it. Celluloid Heroes by The Kinks. 1972. Second single from the album Everybody's in Showbiz. Ray Davis, the great sociological observer of all the pop music history. I just think he had an eye that no one else ever had. And it's kind of interesting. If you recall this song, he's walking down Hollywood Boulevard and he's looking at the heroes of a past age. He name checks Greta Garbo and Rudolph Valentino and don't step on Bela Lugosi. He might turn around and bite. These were heroes to his parents, not necessarily to him, you know, in post-war UK. But he's using this as these names are immortal, right? And there they are preserved in concrete. But he tells us right at the top of the song, everybody's a dreamer and everybody's a star. Everybody's in movies. It doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house, and on every street. You know, and celluloid heroes never die, but neither do the great people who touch other people's lives. Mm-hmm. Maybe only a dozen people, right? Or it may be thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, like these movie stars. But Ray always taking the kind of everyman approach to celebrating, you know.
Right.
Wish I could be like David Watts, right? You know, the guy on the street who is a decent person. That's a hero, too, just like Marilyn Monroe. So Celluloid Heroes by The Kinks.
was a non-stop Hollywood movie show. A fantasy world of celluloid villains and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die.
And we don't play enough Kinks. We could play the Kinks, songs like Celluloid Heroes, like every other week on this show.
I don't know what it's been, but I've been on a Kinks bender the last 6 months, just listening to a lot of their songs. They're just renewing my appreciation for Ray as a songwriter. My God, the guy was incredible. That song in particular, I love that song.
I did say Davis every single time we mention Ray. We get people saying, it's Davies. Yeah, but the man himself, when we chatted with him, chose to pronounce it Davis, and I will. He's a hero. Honor him, okay?
He's a hero for sure. Here's a great song about a hero. I think
this would have been a gym pick, but I thought it was too obvious.
You know, I think sometimes the obvious ones are the ones you got to go for because they're so moving. I mean, Waiting for a Superman by Flaming Lips. Wayne Coyne, perhaps not the most direct or easily understandable songwriter prior to this. He was, He was into the psychedelic stuff and the cut-up lyrics and the these kind of strange scenarios that would cut through his songs, which made them incredibly intriguing, combined with the sonic backdrop.
But you didn't always know what he was talking about.
But what's he saying? Right. With the Soft Bulletin in 99, the Lips took a turn for, like, we want to make these songs understandable. We want to get through...
Yeah.
To our audience, and I tell you, you know, he would leave people in tears because the songs were so vulnerable. I mean, he let it all out. I think, especially on a song like this, you superheroes are supposed to be there to just in the nick of time to bail us out of our harshest, darkest moments, and sometimes they don't show up.
Right.
And I think he's really talking about just the average person. Like sometimes you think you're a superhero and you can get through this, but the burden is just too heavy to lift on your own.
Yeah.
You need some help. You need to have your friends be there for you. You can't do this on your own.
Well, you know, his dad had just died, and he was in this existential frame of mind.
Yeah.
Do I have any heroes anymore?
Right.
Or do I have to try to be a hero? I don't know how to do that.
Well, you wrote the book on the band.
You
would know. So you agree that this is a great song?
Oh, absolutely. I just didn't want to be too obvious. Yeah. You got another one coming up later.
Yeah.
But that would have been the cliche, and it would have sounded the bell by our producers.
Right. Waiting for a Superman from Flaming Lips on Sound Opinions. Waiting for a Superman, Wayne Coyne wearing his sleeve, wearing his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to an unexpected source for my next hero song, The Stranglers, UK punk band, 1977. No More Heroes, they were singing, which is, you know, the punk take, 76, 77, that summer of hate, the year of hate in the UK. Starts with the Sex Pistols. You know, the Stranglers were, I always thought, a second-tier punk band. Not like the Pistols, the Clash, or Wire, or Buzzcocks, but they had their moments. One of the driving forces here, I decided to... pick this in part so that you would get a little joy, Greg. The David Greenfield organ on this track. Holy cow! Mm-hmm. You are a big fan of the trash rock, garage rock organ. And you, Cornwell, powering this song with this kind of edgy amphetamine guitar. And who are the heroes the Stranglers are bemoaning the passing of? Leon Trotsky, he got an ice pick in the brain. Lenny Bruce, Sancho Panza, right?
Yeah.
You know, not even a real person. You know, they watched their Rome burn, whatever happened to the heroes. I think you can, in dark times, as the Thatcher years were in the UK, as the Reagan years were here in the U.S., arguably as it is now. You can bemoan that there are no heroes, that you're waiting for a Superman who's never coming, or you can celebrate the heroes who aren't getting enough attention. So the Stranglers were complaining, but to the end that they wished someone would step forward.
Mm-hmm.
No more heroes by the Stranglers.
Whatever happened to all of the heroes, all the Shakespeare-os, they watched their own man. Whatever happened to the heroes? Whatever happened to the heroes? No more heroes anymore. No more heroes anymore.
All right, now it's time to turn. We have three heroes, Greg, who make this show. Alex Claiborne.
Yes, we do.
Andrew Gill and Sol Delgadillo. Sol, you've got a hero pick, yeah?
I do. So I just think it's funny how we started this segment with Save Me by Amy Mann, and now we're going to my pick, which is Save Yourself by 1OK Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're a rock group that formed in Tokyo in 2005, and I chose this song because, first of all, I realized that a good chunk of my music is either sad or in another language, so I don't have many hero songs. And second of all, I wanted to make the argument that sometimes you gotta be your own hero, you know? Like, it's kind of a stretch, but I'm sticking to it. And
No, I'm with mm-hmm. you. You know, when I was a kid, I saw the Poseidon Adventure, the original one with Gene Hackman, right? Made a big impression on like 7-8-year-old Jim, you know, and he's the minister and he tries to save all these people, get them out of the upside down boat. And he says, you know, but minister, aren't we supposed to pray to God? And he says, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shaped my entire worldview from that moment.
Exactly. It's a song about heartbreak and, you know, how you've become so attached to a person that you sort of just got to build yourself up again from that.
We can relate.
And it's on you. It is on you, the hero at home. So here's Sol's pick, Save Yourself by 1OK Rock.
Save yourself. Love is pain, I know too well. You've never failed. Waves this strong, just save yourself. I like to sink or swim, but you can't even dive right in. Save yourself. If you're drowning in your doubt, save yourself.
That's a good one from Sol Delgadillo.
Indeed.
Our assistant producer, associate producer, one of our heroes. And she always comes up with mm-hmm. a left field pick. I love that. Coming up, we'll round out our picks for songs about heroes, and we'll hear suggestions from producers Alex and Andrew. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our favorite songs about heroes. Next up, producer Alex Claiborne. Alex, what song have you got for us?
Hey, guys. So the song I wanted to choose is I'm Still Standing by Elton John. And I'm not an Elton John stan by any means, but I think he has his moments that are really musically infectious and that have a message that can really excite people, inspire people. And so this song, you know, came off of his 1983 album, Too Low for Zero. And he had kind of been in a slump before this in the 1980s. And this album had two hits on it, this one, and then I guess that's why they call it the blues. And so it kind of marked a comeback of sorts for him. But you know, the original lyrics are by Bernie Taupin, who does all the lyrics for Elton John. And it's kind of like showing an ex that you're like back and you're still standing and you're doing well. But I actually think it can be used in a variety of situations, whether that's, you know, standing tall after you come out of a traumatic situation or, you know, a longstanding global pandemic that we're still in.
Yeah. The hero who will not be knocked down.
Yes. You know, I'm still standing better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor. So I definitely think those lyrics exemplify, you know, and I think it can also be applied to, you know, after Elton John became sober, standing in his sobriety, or, you know, whether it's your sexuality or your gender identity, your ethnicity, you know, whatever it is that you want to stand stand proud. And I think this is a good song to exemplify that and kind of explain that sometimes being a hero is just being someone who can like get back up and keep going. And I really like the element of joy in it. It just feels good. Yeah. It's a fun song that I think fits perfectly with this theme. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time. Picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is I'm Still Standing from Elton John. Alex's great pick for a heroic song. And now we're going to hear from producer number three.
Andrew is, you know, Andrew's on vacation. He is taking his young son and his wife to see the most important historic sites in America, in Philadelphia. Talk about heroic, you know, where this country was forged. So Andrew phoned in from the road.
Hey guys, Andrew Gill here. I'm on vacation in Washington, D.C. right now. But it's a good time for songs about heroes because we've been visiting all these patriotic sites with my kid. We're learning that most of these guys, these heroes of our country, had some pretty deep flaws, like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all the enslaved people that they exploited. So I've thought to another one of our presidents, Barack Obama, and what he said about heroes, which was, we are the ones we've been waiting for. So in that mindset, I want to play Billy Bragg's 1986 song, There Is Power in a Union, on this album, talking with the tax man about poetry. We are the ones we've been waiting for when we come together and we work for our common good, and that's seen very beautifully in unions all across the world. So this song is my song about heroes. Thanks.
Just laws cannot defeat us. But who'll defend the workers who cannot organize when the bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us?
Yep, there is power in a union. A good pick by Billy Bragg from Andrew Gill. There is, and it is a time of unions being resurgent, which is inspiring to this former Newspaper Guild member.
Yeah, for
Greg,
sure.
Greg, what else you got?
Well, again, I'm going to go to a fairly popular song that I love. I love Rihanna. I think she's a major artist, and she's probably my favorite singer, you know, in the pop realm of the last 15 years. I think she's terrific.
Been a lot of competition, but she stands out for
transforms
you.
a lot of songs that are kind of boilerplate and makes them personalizes them. The case with Umbrella, which she turned into a huge hit in 2007, the history behind that song is really interesting because it got offered to other singers before Rihanna got a hold of it. Mm. Britney Spears and Mary J. Blige, but for various reasons, both turned it down.
Opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Either of those would have been an interesting record.
And it was one of those, you know, manufactured records, you know, the Christopher Stewart, Terrius Nash, you know, Cuck Harrell, you know, working on this song. And it had hooks, and it also had a message that Rihanna really related to. She said, I want to sing this song. Jay-Z gets the opening part of the song, but Rihanna is the one who really took it away, and she got that vocal hook in there, that in the refrain that made it so ubiquitous. You couldn't escape this song. What I loved about this song, it says a lot about Rihanna because, as I said, she has a way of personalizing even the most manufactured pop songs. And in this song, friendship can be a heroic act. You know, she's, you know, it's the flip side of save me. You know, Amy Mann was saying, I need someone to save me. Rihanna's in this song, she's saying, I'm going to save you.
Mm.
And it wasn't, it's not done in an uppity, hey, I'm, you know, I'm this great superhero. It's like, I'll be there for you no matter what happens.
Mm.
Somebody at their lowest point, Rihanna's basically saying in this song, I am going to be there through thick and thin. You know, it's about a relationship. It may not be a romantic one. It's strictly a platonic one. That's not important. The importance is the act of stepping up for someone in need. You know, it's the difference between a friend and a BFF. You know, it's like, this is the person you're going to stand up for no matter what happens to them. It's Rihanna with Umbrella on Sound Opinions. That is Rihanna with the 2007 hit that I still think is just a great song and a great performance by Rihanna.
And our listening audience will now have that Ella, Ella, Ella echoing in their heads ever since. Greg, I'm turning to another great female artist myself in my next pick, Natalie Merchant. I loved her second post 10,000 Maniacs album, Ophelia, in 1998. And I think that the title track, which is, you know, partly coming from the Shakespeare character in Hamlet, Ophelia, but really standing in for all women. You know, in the great Shakespeare play, Ophelia suffers from what would have been called in the Victorian or other eras, erotomania, you know, hypersensitivity by women, right? Because of their biology and their emotional makeup, to which Natalie, you know, spits and venom, you know. She takes on several of the tropes of, you know, or I should say the cliches, the stereotypes, often driven by misogynistic hatred, laden upon women who dare to be strong or dare to do something that's, you know, men's work, or dare to even just claim their right as a woman. You know, we get a female cannonball name checked. We get a mafia courtesan. We get, you know, curvaceous thighs and vivacious eyes of what one would assume would be a celluloid hero, but also the bride of God, a novice Carmelite nun, right? She's talking about all of womanhood. And so many women are heroes to me. And Natalie's one of them, given voice in Ophelia. Man, I love that album. And if you remember, she posed in all these different costumes of all these different characters. Fantastic album art, a fantastic album.
Yeah, Natalie Merchant, I think in some ways very underrated, you know.
Way underrated.
One of a kind artist.
Let us have a Natalie Merchant revival. Let
it
start here.
I would be into that. Here's a song that never seems to age. I have loved this song from the minute I heard it. And it, you know, it's one of those songs where, you know, you hear a song during a certain part of your life, and you listen to it again 20 years, 30 years later, you come across it and you realize, that hasn't really aged that well. I don't know why I like that song.
But some songs get better and better and better.
Heroes, David Bowie's song. I mean, obviously, we're talking about Heroes, and you go, well, that's, you know, that's as plain as the, you know, the face you're looking at in a mirror, you know, like I know that. And at the same time, I always thought the song was so powerful for a number of reasons. Sonically, it still sounds futuristic to me. That Robert Fripp guitar line is so moving to me in that song. Bowie's voice, the way he sort of modulates up you know, at the end of the song, you know.
Yep.
The desperation in his voice. And he's talking about, you know, they're in the Hansa studio in Berlin, which is, you know, like within eyeshot of the Berlin Wall.
By the wall.
And he sees two young people every day meeting under this gun turret and exchanging a few kisses, you know. And it turns out it was Visconti, his producer, and his girlfriend, you know, at the time. But the point was he turned it into this heroic epic about romantic love in the face of, you know, all these obstacles, you know.
Right.
And it's still an incredibly powerful song because of those images. You know, the Berlin Wall at the time was like the dividing line. You cannot cross this without risking your life, right?
I was there as a road manager on tour with a band, and to see the guards on the East German side level machine guns at anyone who dared to kiss by the wall or look at... Actually, the band I was with mooned the guards. They obligingly leveled their machine guns. But there was a sense of you are at the edge of the world.
Right, right. And Bowie captured that sense in this song so well.
With the help of another guy who played keyboards.
What was his name? I can't remember.
It was Brian Eno, which is why... I know, Visconti says he never got the credit. He was actually there every day. But, you know, the Eno spirit filled... this album.
Well, you know, they all work with collaboration because Visconti's the guy at the wall, right?
Yeah.
So it all worked together. David Bowie with Heroes from 1977.
An obvious pick, Greg, David Bowie's Heroes, but a great one. No two ways I can argue about that. But, you know, rather than me doing it, I figured, oh, let's see what Greg has to say. I'm going to go with a hip-hop track. You know, hip-hop very often celebrates the villains instead of the heroes. You could argue there are no heroes without forces to fight against. But I love what Nas did in the 2008 song Hero. He gets two great assists here from Kerry Hilson, the female voice, and Paulo Da Don producing. You know, he's talking about what the hip-hop artist means in the black community. And if you recall the background to this album... The album was to be titled The N-Word, and the record company would have none of that. And Nas references it in the lyrics, you know, basically saying you wouldn't be telling Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, or Billy Joel what to call their album.
Right.
And he was trying to make a statement about the stereotypes in the black community and also the unsung heroes. And there are rappers who could be heroes, even if they had come from, the streets as Nas did. You know, chain gleaming, switching lanes, two seating, you know, we can see the hip-hop star. He paints the portrait. But the people need someone to believe in, so in God's Son we trust. I'm going to give them what they want. They're looking for a hero. And I think both in terms of vocal flow and his imaginative rhyming skills and his musical invention and his whole persona, Nas was one of the great heroes of, as you know, arguably still is, to ever come up from the streets of Brooklyn. So Nas with Hero from 2000.
Distinguished gentleman, crooks a castle on his back, made backer. Exotic lady, eye catcher, holla at ya. Call me the chiropractor, working like Muay Thai class, get pressed fire out ya. And of course,
Hero by Nas, from the 9th album that New York rapper made for us. Remember that track? It was a powerful one.
I do, yeah. I'm a huge Nas fan, and I think that's one of his best pieces of work.
Absolutely. Coming late in his career. That wraps up our picks for songs about heroes. But as always, we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite tune about heroes? Leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. www.mrcott.org. We'd love to air it on the show. Mr. Cott, what do we got next week?
Next week, Jim, we're going to revisit our conversation with Talking Heads and Tom Tom Club drummer Chris Franz, an affable fellow.
And a hero.
Yeah, indeed. And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed this week. We've got a conversation with the director of the Epics Women Who Rock docuseries, our friend Jessica Hopper.
Always a pleasure to have Jessica on the show. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors.
And speaking of sponsors, every week our show reaches hundreds of thousands of curious listeners from around the globe via podcast and on 150 public radio stations nationwide. If you'd like to learn more on how your business or organization can also reach this engaged and educated audience, you can email sponsor at soundopinions.org. That's sponsor at soundopinions.org.
Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced heroically by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cobb.
This is not my beautiful house, and you may tell yourself.